The Marine and the Hippie is a weekly conversation about current events aimed at presenting alternative viewpoints while looking for common ground. We are the Marine and the Hippie.
Hello and welcome to the Marine and the Hippie. I'm the Hippie coming at you from Kusadasi, Turkey. Today we'll be talking about the Noble Lie here on Dialogue 31. Noble Lie being, where is society being led astray? And Doc will give us a brief introduction to the theory of the Noble Lie.
So the Noble Lie comes primarily from Plato's Republic, and the idea behind the Noble Lie is that the society, in order to maintain order and the myth that keeps the society in support of the government of the society, if that makes any sense, needs to promote this idea that the truth, or, you know, something that's painfully obvious, is not really what's happening. And so they create this idea of the Noble Lie, which is told in service of a greater good. In Plato's Republic's case, the idea of the Noble Lie was designed to keep classes from mixing and debasing. In times of war, you'll see the Noble Lie where they talk about how the enemy is this terrible monster that needs to be defeated in order to keep our country from being overrun by these horrible, monstrous forces, like the Empire of Japan, for example, which was never really actually a threat to mainland United States. It was a threat to our economy, and yet we needed to present the Empire of Japan as this evil that needed to be vanquished at all costs. It was a noble lie. And now we find the noble lie still being utilized by, you know, certain elements of society to get their voters to vote for, you know, their particular candidates. And the idea is we're telling this lie about the other side.
Pre-show, we were talking about this. We have two examples that we'll discuss. I think the first we'll discuss is actually the Queen's monster, since you're already talking about monsters and you've kind of gone farther back. And on my blog, Observations from the Spectrum, I published a piece called The Queen's Monster. And it's the idea of, how do we construct God not as the creator, not as an is, not as a part of society, but as a judge. And it started when I was teaching a class. I was teaching a student, and we're reading this article about Greek mythology. And one of the sentences said, the prince spoke with Zeus in the myth. And then the prince spoke to his people, and he was able to communicate to the people. I said, huh, that makes a lot of sense in why I struggle with what is God.
In this story, the idea was that God was created in order to keep the society in support of the king or queen. The king was asking how we get the subjects to follow a rule or a law that they're not otherwise inclined to do. So they created this version of God that suggested that, well, God told me that I needed to pass this law, and if you don't follow the law, then something horrible is going to happen to you. This led into what is suggested to be the divine right of kings, where a king rules at the pleasure of God. Not only can you not get rid of the king, because the king is there as a representative of God, but the king's word is also absolute, in that it is the voice of God here on earth. And kings and the ecclesiastical equivalent of kings, popes, utilize this voice of God in order to control the people, even though it's possible that all these stories about God telling kings to do this or that, or telling the Pope to do this or that, are completely and totally false and are designed specifically to control individuals.
Yeah, and then when you question the king, you're met with a noose or a guillotine. So you can't question the king because, well, if you question the king, you get killed.
You question the king, you question God, and that's almost blasphemy.
Yeah, so you're going against this thing that's manufactured. That's a problem, and that is the noble lie, is that we accept as our truth that we're not going to question God. And if somebody is a messenger from God, we're not going to question them either. And that creates a very scary dichotomy in society, in which we see present today. And we saw it present in the last election, and it looks like we're going to see it present in the election in 2024. And when we come back from the break, we will continue with Dialogue 31, The Noble Lie. You're listening to The Marine and the Hippie. I'm Dylan. I'm the Hippie from Turkey. And let me just tell you, Kolay gelsin. May it be easy. Peace.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Marine and the Hippie. This is Doc. I am the Marine and I'm here with the Hippie Dylan. And today we are talking about the noble lie. The noble lie, in the case that we've talked about before, was a creation of God or a godlike figure to justify the commands and the laws that a king would promulgate on his subjects, which the subjects wouldn't otherwise be interested in doing. For example, like, say, taxes or military service. The king is asking his subjects to go and die for the king and using God as a justification for, you know, that request. The subjects, which would be disinclined to go fight the king's wars for no real benefit to themselves, see the laws and the words of the king as something akin to God's voice on earth, and so they're more inclined to follow those rules and those laws because they've been lied to, essentially. That's essentially what the noble lie comes down to. We see examples of the noble lie here in 21st century America as well. When you look at the way that political parties talk about their opponents, we could say that, for example, in 2020, and Dylan will have an example that's more current than this, but in 2020, we saw the Democrats talk about how electing Trump would be the end of this right or that right or this group's freedom or that group's freedom, you know, basically utilizing fear of an existential crisis to get Democrats to go and vote for some really terrible candidates. You know, you didn't have to look no further than the president of the United States of America, Joe Biden, who is exactly the most milquetoast, most nothing, not offensive, not controversial, nothing. He was not a real, like, serious candidate for office. He's a serious candidate for the geriatric ward. And yet the Democrats presented him as the only possible savior to the existential crisis, which is a Trump second term. And a lot of people bought that. It's not true at all, of course. Joe Biden was not the only option that there was. There were many options, and they all selected the worst one simply because of the fact that they were all afraid of what would happen if you didn't get the lamest candidate to run against Donald Trump in the 2020 election. A noble lie to prevent some sort of existential crisis, which, you know, wasn't really real. They just manufactured it completely to get voters to the polls.
And now fast forward to 2021. One of the purposes of our show, The Marine and the Hippie, is to identify problems and offer solutions. Here we are in 2021, and I saw a picture, and the picture that we're discussing is Jon Stewart. He's standing next to someone, and he's wearing a shirt that says, "Keep 2024 Trumpless." Well, that's the noble lie, in essence, on a shirt. It's not saying vote for the best candidate. It's saying we just have to keep this person out of office because it's this person. So no matter who we bring in, it's going to be the better candidate. That's what Doc was just talking about. The DNC or the Democratic Party, however you want to call them, don't have a product. They don't have a person. They don't have a leader. They don't have a clear message. Yet they want us to vote for them. And they want us to vote for them at all costs. Well, at all costs is to our detriment because it means that we're not going to get our needs met. And again, our needs being pretty basic and very simple: socialized medicine, socialized education, not being hungry, having shelter. And that's not what's happening. All we're doing is creating a video game election where it's our candidate, the lesser of two evils. That's who we voted for this time, versus the worser of two evils. Well, evil is still evil. It's still not helping the majority of the people. That is the problem.
They would use an analogy of when you went into a restaurant. If you were given a sandwich with tuna salad on it versus a turkey sandwich or something like that, and you didn't like either tuna salad or turkey, are you going to not eat any of the sandwiches because you didn't like both of them, because you didn't have the absolute best choice? But the analogy was wrong in that both of those sandwiches were covered in mold. And so would you like a turkey sandwich covered in mold, or would you like a tuna salad sandwich? At no point did it ever occur to these people that maybe we might not want either of those two because maybe both of them would be terrible for us if we picked either one of them.
And I would give, even using a similar analogy, it's the difference between a hamburger and pork ribs, and you're a Hindu and a Muslim. So you're literally not able to eat either because of your internal kind of moral ethics and your moral beliefs. Yet you have to choose one or the other for your survival. And that's what's being asked of us. We're not being asked to choose what's best. We're being asked to go against our ethics and go against who we are and go against kind of who we want to be.
Yeah, more importantly, we're not being asked to choose what's good for us or what we even want. Nobody cares what we want. We're only allowed to pick what they put on offer. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, of course, when we come back from the break. You're listening to Marine and the Hippie Dialogue number 31. And we'll be right back. Hi, this is Doc, and you're listening to Marine and the Hippie.
Welcome back to Dialogue 31, The Noble Lie. When we left break, we're talking about kind of politics and candidates and being forced to choose something that's not good for us. Well, here's a shout out against the DNC, the Democratic Party. It is 2021. If you can't find a candidate who is viable or useful or able to meet the needs of the people based on policy, you will not get my vote. Not that you got my vote this time. I voted green. But you will not get my vote again. Why? Because I'm not into a lie. I'm not willing to vote for your lie to make me feel okay about myself.
And I obviously haven't voted for a Democrat for a very long time. I voted for the candidate that offered me something that I wanted. And this is one of the things that we saw in the 2020 election that some people got in a lot of trouble for. You had speakers like Ice Cube, and I don't know about Ice Cube's sincerity or whatever, but the sentiment I get, the sentiment was, we in this community should follow the candidate that offers us the best deal. And that's what blocks of voters across the entire country do. That's what the quote-unquote white working class that voted for Trump did. They voted for the candidate that offered them the best deal. And they took the bad stuff along with that because they thought they were getting a better deal as a result of voting for Donald Trump. They thought they would have some sort of job security in the future, higher pay, this kind of stuff. It didn't materialize. And a lot of them drank the Kool-Aid just needlessly. But at the same time, in 2016, there were reason that people voted for the guy that had absolutely nothing to do with being brainwashed. And it also had nothing to do with hating Muslims. It had something to do with the fact that the working class in this country had been shit on, excuse my language, for 40 years. And both parties were involved in that. So why would you expect me to vote for one of the candidates like Hillary Clinton, who was neck deep in doing that to the working class and destroying the working class for 40 years. The Democrats ain't offering me anything. The Democrats clearly ain't offering Dylan anything, and they're not offering most working people in this country anything. So why in the world should you expect anyone to vote for that person?
And it's just propaganda. I mean, that's, I guess at the end of the day, that's what the shirt did to me. It made me angry because we're 3 years away from voting, and yet here is just a piece of propaganda that's trying to get me to align with something that's not real, something that's not tangible, something that's not going to help me in the present or seemingly help me in the future. Because I don't know what it's like to live in under a dictatorship. Maybe it's a good thing, because living in a democracy that craps on, pardon my language, craps on the working class and doesn't provide access to healthcare, access to higher education, access to easy retirement, isn't a benefit either. So it's not like one has something better to offer. It's like, well, this thing that you know sucks, but it doesn't suck as bad as this other thing that you don't know that we're going to push as sucking worse. In a dictatorship, there is only one person. So if you have a dictator, the buck stops with that person. Maybe that's the right way to go.
Well, I'm not going to argue whether a dictatorship is better. I think that in the words of George W. Bush, things would be great if it's a dictatorship so long as I'm the dictator. I agree with that. I don't know how well dictators do, but I think a better analogy than the sandwich analogy or whatever that was used last year, and this goes to your point, is we're being asked which poison we want to take. Do we want to take rat poison or do we want to take arsenic? You know, like, which one do we want to ingest? And we have to try to figure out which is the least bad for us, when as a matter of fact, both of them are going to kill us. I don't understand why it is that the Democrats, you know, and the Republicans too, they have some obligation here too, don't actually try to offer people a better choice than the other side. It seems to me that that's at least what they used to try to do, is to show how they were better. Now it is literally make 2024 Trumpless, saying whatever, we don't really care, just as long as this other guy isn't in there. And the Republicans do the same thing. So both parties are asking us which poison we would prefer to take to kill ourselves with. And my answer is neither. So I'm not going to vote for either of the parties.
It's entertainment. So we buy into it because it's entertaining, but we don't buy into it because there's any value to it. WWE are athletes pretending to play sport. American government seems to be the same. It seems to be politicians pretending to play politics because they're not writing policies that actually make a huge difference, that are really doing things that align with what, well, 94% of the rest of the world is doing. And that's the problem that I've always felt with where we are as a country, is we don't value what it means to be a citizen collectively, as a whole, as all Americans, no matter what, where you are. And we don't seem to really understand what we should be getting in return for sales tax, income tax, gas tax, cigarette tax, death tax.
And you know, when you talk about getting stuff in return, there's always a group of people that's like, well, if you feel that way, then you're privileged. You're privileged to ask for something in return for the vote that you're going to give. Like, you're so privileged that you don't really care about the struggles of this group or that group. You know, you just are so privileged that you're only concerned about yourself. But, you know, my question is to those groups, you know, if it is an existential crisis for you that one person is elected as opposed to another person, and I'm not even going to name names because it's on both sides, they both view it as existential crises. What are you asking for in return? Are you just asking to not be fucked with? Because that's the absolute least thing that you should be asking for. You should expect more from your government. You should expect honest government. You should expect good governance. You should expect, you know, honest people running your government. And if you don't get that, you shouldn't continue to vote for them. You know, the reason why we have dishonest people and corrupt people in our government is because people continue to elect them. People don't look at it and be like, well, I'm sick of this dishonesty. I'm sick of this corruption. I'm going to vote all this stuff out. No, they respond instead to the scare tactics that these parties are keep putting on you to like try to make your, you know, individual struggle seem like it's an existential crisis for you. It's not. There's not going to be a genocide against gay people if Donald Trump is elected again. And you know how I know this is because in 2016, when he was elected, there was not a genocide against gay people. There was not a genocide against women and that kind of thing, even though that's what the Democrats would like you to believe was going to happen in 2016 when Hillary Clinton lost. And so this is the thing. It's not what I'm getting. It's what we should all be demanding from our government. We should all be demanding that our government is honest and not lie to us, not practice a noble lie, because their lies are paper thin. We can see right through them. And I don't really know how we get there as a society, because right now these people are so ensconced in power.
Well, I think the only way to change course is to view each other as citizens of the same nation with different ideals, instead of people of the same nation with different political views. And there's a difference. The word is citizen. A citizen is somebody of a nation. It's your neighbor. All Americans are the same. We all have the same value. We all have the same vote. And we should remember that, and we should come together and when we're voting, be thinking about what would benefit the most citizens. Not the most citizens on my side or their side, but the most citizens collectively together in the 6% of the world population in which we are. Thank you for listening to Dialogue 31, The Noble Lie. You can listen to more of our podcasts if you visit marineandhippie.com. That's hippie with an IE. And if you're interested in reading my blog, it's observationsfromthespectrum.org, all one word. And feel free to leave us messages on Twitter. We're on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you for listening to Dialogue 31, The Noble Lie. This is Dylan the Hippie signing off.
And we'll see you all next week.
Ciao. We'll be right back.
broke into a special forces compound in California and attacked two special forces men, cutting them, and they ran into an office and called the police.
Ninja 2, Special Forces 0.
Yeah, $900 billion because right. Two special forces guys who can't beat the shit out of a ninja and have to lock themselves in an office.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's it. You are listening to Marine and the Hippie.
Do it.
It's done, man. It's already in my head.
For more information on the Marine, follow Doc at Supernova_Earth on Twitter and listen to the Supernova Earth Show on Spotify. For more information on the Hippie, follow Dylan at Gezi and Me on Twitter and read his blog at observationsfromthespectrum.org.